Front Page, kicking off 2 hours of live local talk. Later, following on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WDOGO.com. But we begin here on a Friday. I've already been out and about. Governor Walker was at the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport, the Hawthorne Aviation Building today, as the Chippewa County Economic Development Corporation had their breakfast, awards breakfast. And Governor Walker speaking and addressing the media. We'll have some of his comments. One particular question I asked him at the tail end of this opening segment, that more of what the governor had to say after 11 on WOGO. Renee Couture is in-house on a Friday. Welcome, Renee.
Hey, good morning.
And Dr. Everett Piper on the line, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Are you in the home city today, or where are you at?
Yeah, I'm in Oklahoma. I just had to use my cell phone today because I'm not in my office.
So, okay.
But thanks for accommodating.
All right, very good. Glad to do it. And Oklahoma Wesleyan, Little Sisters of the Poor, Supreme Court case in the news earlier this week, I believe it was on Monday. Dr. Piper, give us an update.
Well, what the Supreme Court has done is essentially concede our point, which should be good news. And what I mean by saying that is they've remanded the case back to the lower courts. They've basically bumped it back to the lower courts, and they've said, figure this out. Figure out a way to provide these objectionable drugs, abortifacient drugs, abortion-inducing drugs, to the public without hijacking the health insurance packages of faithful Christian women. That's what they're saying. That's my language. That's my interpretation. But that was our case. That's what we kept saying. You can't hijack our health insurance to provide products that we don't want to use. The women won't use them. The pro-life, Catholic nuns are celibate. They don't need this stuff. They'll never use this stuff. Why hijack our health insurance to provide this? There are a myriad of other ways to do so. Give women that want it a rebate. Give them a separate little card to take to the pharmacist. Do that. Don't hijack our policies. Now, it appears the Supreme Court recognizes the sanity of our position and is remanding it back to the lower court and saying to them, figure this out. We pray and we hope that the Tenth Circuit in our case will listen and hear this and find accordingly in our favor.
The transgender issue remains in the news this week. You were on the Dana Lash show on the Blaze Network, and you want to just set that up for us? I've got the one-minute clip, but can you set it up for us, Dr. Piper?
Yeah, basically, Dana Loesch, The Blaze, she asked me to join her on her program this week and comment on the bathroom issue, the bathroom bills, the debate. And I said what I've said on your program and elsewhere repeatedly. This is anti-woman. This degrades the woman. This denies the female her identity, for it claims that the woman is not a biological fact, that anyone can pretend to be a female and therefore deny the objective identity of what it means to be a woman, and thereby take the woman's rights and privacy and dignity away from her to the point where she doesn't even have her own restroom anymore. There's nothing more misogynistic than to tell a person that they don't biologically exist. To deny science, to deny anatomy, to deny physiology, to deny the reality of a woman is to insult the woman. And females who are biological facts should rise up and say, we demand our rights. Title IX requires that. You can't take a rule, a law that requires colleges and universities to give women equal access to programs and sports, and then tell those universities that they need to deny the objective reality of a woman and give a male access to those same sports that you're required by law to give to women.
All right, So last Thursday night into Friday, President Obama gives this directive for every school district in the country, right? I mean, that was a big deal. And he talked about, you know, this is what you need to do. We talked about in our area, Eau Claire is a liberal city. We've got a liberal Eau Claire school board. We've had some of the members on here talking about their policy. They were going to have the biggest concern with this regarding bathroom use, and you can expand it out as you reference locker rooms, but is the idea of a biological male now identifying as a female going into the female bathroom, potentially then locker room, sports participation. And so Eau Claire had settled on this. You're going to use kind of a neutral or faculty bathroom. I was in the president with his override, and there's been a lot of pushback, hasn't there?
Well, there's been a lot of pushback, and there should be. Again, whether you're Christian or whether you're secular, you should recognize that women should have their dignity and have their privacy, and you shouldn't compromise it. And this bill does that. This, well, it's not a bill. It's a directive. This is not even law. This is an executive order where the president is telling us how to run our own bathrooms. How many times have I said on your program, you get rid of the big laws of God, you don't get liberty, you get thousands of little laws? We're at the point where we actually have the president how to run our own toilets. This is absurd. This is not freedom. This is fascism. This is an imposition of Big Brother and telling us how to run the most private areas of our lives and how to accommodate people with regard to their own toilets. Women should not have that right and that privacy and that dignity taken away from them. That's absurd.
Yeah. Big government, small people, right, Renee?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost so crazy that you can't even comprehend it. You know, I was talking to my brother and I said, just even though he's a family member, the thought of him being in the bathroom next to me, and I know him and I'm related to him, I'm like, no. I mean, how can you even possibly think of complete strangers and God only knows who wandering in off the streets into a woman's bathroom?
And so for you on the Christian college level, you're hearing from folks at other colleges as well, dialoguing with you, because it's not right now the T in transgender and the LGBTQ equation is getting a lot of attention. It seems like we're bored with just plain old homosexuality. They got same-sex marriage last year. But you're hearing from other folks. What are Christian colleges wrestling with?
Well, unfortunately, many Christian colleges, especially those in the Wesleyan tradition, are arguing right now that there has to be a middle way. There has to be an accommodation. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in my house with my dogs.
No,
there
that's
has
all
to
right.
Be an accommodation.
Why especially those in the – why? What kind of dog do you have?
I've got chocolate labs.
Chocolate
sorry
labs.
About that.
No, that's fine. It adds a realness to it. You're a regular guy just like the rest of our dog-loving listeners.
Oh, indeed I am.
Why the Wesleyan tradition in particular? I'm just curious.
Well, the Wesleyan tradition is a tradition that stands for love. Wesley elevated love as evidence of grace in our lives. And what we have right now is many Christian institutions, colleges and churches that are of the Wesleyan tradition somehow arguing that this call for love demands of us that we have a conversation and that we accommodate rather than we confront the sin for what it is, that we need to accommodate the sin and we need to be more accepting. And I have said that that's antithetical to Wesley's call for obedience, Wesley's call for holiness, Wesley's call for the methodical, habitual, holy life of following God and obeying Scripture. This is anathema, you know, to what the Bible says, and it's anathema to Christianity. One thing I'd say, and then I'll take a breath after this, Mark, this call to water down the definition of the human being to nothing but identity is actually a return to the Gnosticism that St. Paul himself told us to avoid. It denies the objective. That's why it's Gnosticism. It insults the body and chooses to deny it. It disguises it, it mutilates it, it amputates it rather than celebrate it. The LGBTQ worldview dumbs down us to the imago dog rather than celebrating the imago day. It denies the distinction between the man and the woman. It elevates the emotional and the existential over the material to the point where feelings trump facts and everything becomes subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Identity replaces reality, and we celebrate sin because we become as gods and we decide, we create, we worship ourselves. Remember what George MacDonald said. The one principle of hell is that I am my own. And that's where we are in this Gnosticism of our day.
Yep. In the confusing times, you know, last week on this show, in this segment, as we had this conversation, I introduced a voice, an individual, a former pastor from West Bend, who has now changed his name legally to from Leo Bailey to Leah Nicole Bailey. And so I played a clip, asked him what's his response to President Obama's, and he said he thought it was dangerous because he thought that there could be people who would go into bathrooms now and that weren't really transgender. And so I just want to raise in terms of, and this individual is somebody that we know, I mean, been a youth pastor for my wife and her youth 30 years ago, very influential, very helpful, supportive, encouraging. And I knew he gave the sermon at our wedding. So you can imagine this is like rocked our world some. And so, and even in the Christian community, I got it, in terms of, there's no question what the president did was a complete and just breathtaking overreach. There's no question. But I think it gets a little messy when we start to, as we grapple in the Christian community. And my example would be the only time we ever gave an not the only time we've grappled with the schools doing this, but Mark Yarhouse is a teacher at Regent University. He's written helpful books, one of his most latest. We had him on this year, Understanding Gender Dysphoria, Navigating Transgender Issues in a Changing Culture. And I was, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with him at all. I mean, he spoke at Bethel Seminary recently. And so he gives a lot of acknowledgement. He would differ with you some, it seems like, Dr. Prepper, where he seems to say this is real. But you talk a lot, and one of the things that was helpful is we were dialoguing, even getting ready for the show. You were talking about, Mark, this is, it gives credence to, and maybe it's something you just said again, it gives credence to the psychological and spiritual over the biological. Is that what you'd say to Yarhouse without having read his book?
Well, I don't deny the psychological and the spiritual. I do believe that the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, acknowledges the goodness of the Imago Dei, the goodness that we are created in the image of God with bodies that are defined by science, by biology, by God's self-evident truths in creation. And I think to deny that is to deny Scripture and to ultimately deny the Imago Dei, the image of God. And my little play on words is then we create ourselves in the image of a dog, Imago Dog. Now, what do I mean by that? We start identifying ourselves by our instincts and our inclinations. And I think Yarhouse would agree with me 100% on this. Our identity is found in Christ. It is not found in our temptations or appetites. Mm-hmm. If we dumb ourselves down to those inclinations and that becomes our identity, and we celebrate this new creation rather than the Imago Dei, we celebrate this recreation of what it means to be human because of what we're inclined to do, then we fall prey to the deception that anything that you want to do becomes who you are. And frankly, Mark, that's just not true. I'm inclined to do a lot of things that I should not do, and so are you, and so is Renee and everyone else listening. We should deny those instincts, confess them, repent of them, and then repudiate them. That is the walk of Christ. To celebrate them by becoming identified by them is antithetical to the creation of the human being in God's own image.
Yeah. And so my encouragement to our friend who now identifies as a woman and says, I've legally changed my name, so show me the respect and dignity to call me by my name. And so in that conversation, even last Friday night after our show, as he said, I've had hormone therapy, but I have not gone all the way with a full transforming surgery. I'm like, don't do that. So, you know, but there's dialogue at least between us. So
absolutely. And you're not, I said to you earlier in an exchange on email, it's the difference between tolerance and love. Mm-hmm. The secular ethic of tolerance says, I don't care, do what you want, I'll tolerate you. The Christian ethic of love says, I care deeply. I'm not going to just tolerate you. I'm going to love you. Mm-hmm. Tolerance says, I could care less. Do your thing.
Yeah,
Christian love says, I care deeply.
And he or she did react that way and said, hey, people who do love me or encourage me not to, she has those plans. Lord willing, that doesn't happen. So pray for Leah Nicole Bailey of West Bend. Finally, I asked each of you, I mean, as we wrap up, do you have a story or an observance or something from during the week? And Renee, you've got the least airtime so far. So is there something in terms of something you saw this week that impacted you wanted to bring to the listeners' attention?
Well, yeah, but I just have to comment on this last thing, that what is so heartbreaking to me is, you know, since I've known Jesus since I was 13, it's like, when we don't call people to the cross, then it nullifies what Jesus did on the cross. And what Jesus did on the cross paid the penalty for our sins, for any sin, so that we can be new people. I mean, he resurrected from the dead to break the power of sickness and death and disease. And I'm like, that's the truth. And that's what we have to go back to. And so my friend, you know her actually, Sue Kramer, Mark, mm-hmm. she posted on Facebook this story of this guy's dad who was pronounced dead for 50 minutes. And right before they took him to the morgue, the son and his youth pastor, they're like, you know, we want to pray. And so they prayed for him, and he had been laying dead, nothing. And his heart started beating again. And I don't even know if that guy knows the Lord, the guy that was raised from the dead. But, I mean, it's an absolute medical miracle. And even the networks have picked up the story talking about how this guy was raised from the dead. And, of course, you know, the guy, he's like, How can I not be the most thankful person on the planet? And he has absolutely no way to describe that miracle. So I was like, yep, that's the same God that can raise people from the dead. Because, I mean, Jesus even said that same power, or God, the Bible talks about that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is for us who believe. And, I mean, there's no greater power than that.
Dr. Piper, a story or an observance, something that stuck out to you from the week?
Well, I think this week for me, it's the beauty of being in the town square, being in the market square of ideas, being given the privilege for such a time as this to have a voice for the kingdom and a voice for the cause of Christ. I have a friend that has fought the battle much more aggressively than I have out in California. He's very popular, very well known. I'll keep his name out of it. I don't know if he wants me quoting him or not. But in the midst of all these culture wars, I once tried to encourage him. I said, you know, keep it up, bud. Suck it up. And he said to me, Everett, what a wonderful time to be alive. And that's the attitude I believe the body of Christ should have right now. Not one of fear, not one of running away from the storm, but one of running into the storm with confidence and courage and clarity. Compassion, yes, grace and truth, but never watering down the truth, because it's a wonderful time to be alive. And we are called, like Esther, for such a time as this. And God will redeem everything for his good. What others intend for evil, he will redeem for good if we are a clear, consistent, confident voice for the truth.
Very good. As I transition to mine real quick as we wrap up here, talk about this show is built on current events, controversy, and courageous living from a Christian perspective as best we can. And here's a headline just came into my email inbox. Huffington Post with a story saying Jesus was the first transgender man. So it's a great time to be alive. It is a bizarre time to be alive as well. Let me note that. But again, an issue we've been addressing. Finally, I guess what stood out to me was the mom, Destiny Boone. There'd been gang violence is breaking out worse and worse in Wisconsin's two largest cities, Madison, Milwaukee, and probably not just there, other places. Gang and gun violence. And this right here is a short clip I'm going to give you of Destiny Boone, the grieving mom, because her little daughter was just watching television in the house in a Milwaukee neighborhood, but two gangs were firing bullets at each other, and one went into the house and ultimately took her life at age 9. This is her mom on what would have been her 10th birthday.
I'm going to start by saying thank everybody for coming out for Zelaya. It's hard for me right now. I'm so numb. That's my first baby. I'm so numb. That's my first baby. Today her birthday. She had her whole life ahead of her. I don't understand why. I really don't. I don't know why somebody would do this to her.
So senseless gang and gun violence. And so I asked Governor Walker about it today in terms of, does that bother him?
Oh, it absolutely bothers me. Anytime it's happening, I don't care where it is, anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. But there's no one simple answer to that. I think at its core, it goes back to the family. We've seen the breakdown of the family. And there are things the government can do to stop creating incentives for families not to be together. I mean, I think the more, a lot of this we have to push the federal government on, but the more we keep intact families, it's not just a moral issue. We know mathematically the data shows that if a child is raised in a two-parent family, they're statistically much more likely to graduate from school, to get a job, to live a life free of government dependence. And so we need to do more to strengthen families. Certainly we need to do other things with law enforcement and public education and other things along the way. But at its core, it goes back to the family.
Well, I guess that makes sense. We talk about in the African-American community, for one place, more than 70% of young people growing up without a dad in the home. So.
Well, it's not only not a dad. I mean, there's no women in homes anymore either. I was just talking to a friend of mine, a mom of six. I said, I think, the number one problem in America. Mm-hmm. And that's what has so dramatically changed in the last 50 years is that women aren't in the home anymore, much less a dad. And then all the out-of-wedlock pregnancies and all that stuff. How can somebody make it?
And we've heard
the
talk about, you know, gangs develop that kind of familial atmosphere. Dr. Piper, final thought?
Well, I agree with the governor. This is a moral issue. It's not a mathematical issue, to quote him. It's not a mechanics issue, i.e. the actual mechanics of the violence. This is a moral issue. It's an issue of the heart. And when we gut culture of biblical morality, we cannot expect culture to act biblically. Even those who do not honor the Lordship of Jesus Christ have benefited greatly from a biblically driven culture that honors human freedom and honors human dignity. And when we start demeaning the definition of the human being, the solution isn't to take knives and clubs and rocks and sticks and guns away from people. Hmm. The solution is to educate people that we are moral creatures, we are not animals, and that we have moral culpability. And we need to start doing that in our schools and stop sending our kids off to these institutions that teach them the opposite and parrot this postmodern pablum that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you. Yeah. That's what's happening on the streets.
You know, that's
why this young girl died.
Here in Wisconsin, that's where we need the young people. Madison, Milwaukee, males not even graduating from high school. You talk about getting a job, employment, et cetera. I mean, you got to get that done. So
I the first exposure to born-again Christianity way back in the day, and this wasn't even for me. This was for my mom. Her first exposure was my brother back in he was still in grade school because this was back in Illinois, but it was required reading for him in his grade school to read The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson.
Boy, times they are a-changing. Thank you so much, Dr. Piper. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, blessings.
All right, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University with the Chocolate Labs there at home today on Front Page WWIB. Renee and I, a disturbing subject. 12 of the 20 drunkest U.S. cities are in what state? It's Wisconsin. That's next.
You've probably seen Nuval scores on the shelf tags at Festival Foods. The higher the score, the better the product's nutrition. And now the Higher the Better contest is back on WIB, May 9th through the 27th. Weekdays at 7:20 and 4:20, we'll name an item at Festival and give you a range of its possible Nuval score. You have to guess the correct score by playing high-low. Dial quickly 723-2555 because only three callers get through. If you guess correctly, you'll win a $10 Festival gift card. If no one guesses the score, the gift card is banked for the next contest. Contest time. No purchase necessary. General contest rules at WIB.com.
Class of 2016.
I do.
Family moments are better when the whole family can be there.
Grandma, I'm so glad you came.
Don't miss the memories. Tender Care Transport provides wheelchair-accessible vehicles with door-to-door service.
Have a great day, Mrs. Johnson.
Wherever you may be in West Wisconsin and wherever you need to go, Tender Care is there. Be there with Tender Care. Tender Care Transport, your hometown provider.
If you find it challenging to keep business computers and networks operating efficiently, you're looking for the solution. DCS NetLink has a team of engineers that can help you become proactive with technology solutions. They offer the peace of mind you need by monitoring and managing your network for you, no matter your location. DCS NetLink services are affordably priced and offer flexibility to meet all your IT and technology needs. Find the solution. See DCSNetLink.com today. DCSNetLink.com.
The kicks just keep coming at Mega Holiday. We're talking four new flavors of Kickstart by Mountain Dew. There's Midnight Grape, Watermelon, or how about Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Mix and match any of your favorite Kickstarts for only 99 cents. So kick it into high gear and head to Mega Holiday for a Kickstart. Grab an old favorite, or try a new one like Midnight Grape, Watermelon, Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Because any Kickstart is only 99 cents, only for a limited time, and only at Mega Holiday.
Our construction mess means you pay less.
Bet you didn't know my dad was a poet.
It's true, Kina. Our huge construction project at Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane means we have to sell both new and used vehicles to make room.
I know, Dad. That's why we're having our Rick Moore's one-time-only Memorial Construction Sale. Now through Memorial Day, May 30th.
We'll be open Memorial Day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
If you love driving a truck, you are in luck.
Oh, good one.
We just got in more 2016 Ford F-150s.
Right now, you can get a new Ford F-150 for $33,999, which is over $10,000 off MSRP.
Hey, Dad, what if someone needs a nice, low-mileage vehicle?
I'm glad you asked, Kina. During our Rick Moore's one-time-only Memorial Construction Sale, with qualified credit, you make no payments for 90 days. You can't buy the wrong vehicle from us.
At Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, you get a lifetime warranty on all new and most pre-owned vehicles.
Hey, Kina, where did you learn how to run a backhoe like that?
Mom, of course.
Fell for your first day that I met you. Never dreamed that I ever could forget you. But black and white make a mess when it turned to gray. The window, rewind to the time.
were so close. Got me longing for yesterday.
It's Holland, front page, WWIB and WIB.com. Mark Halverson, Renee Couture on a 72-degree Friday. There you go, Renee. That's the high for the day, supposedly, and it's not even 10:30 yet. Come on now. It's going to keep going.
Gorgeous.
Up towards 80. All right. Well, there was a story this week that we're continuing to hear more about, and, in fact, the Leader Telegram with something on it today. And initially, they were talking about like seven of the – they're talking about – there's a website, 247wallstreet.com. And they revealed a list on Wednesday that had the drunkest cities in America. And it has to do with people.
Nice who, claim to fame.
Yeah, right. Well, that's, yeah, the headline in the Leader today is officials say drunk city ranking, no cause for cheers. Eau Claire placed ninth on the list of U.S. locations known for inebriation. And just give you a little bit of on this. And I just want to have an honest conversation about what can we do in terms of Wisconsin, that we stand out, okay, head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of being a state that drinks to excess. So here's a headline in the Star Tribune. 12 of the 20 drunkest American cities are in Wisconsin. So Minnesota media dealing with Wisconsin, like, we're not just going to put you down with the top 10. We're going to show you got 12 of the top 20. So
I wonder how they came by. Do you have any idea how they came by the statistics?
Mm-hmm. It has to do with excessive drinking. The group analyzed self-reported data from county health rankings and roadmaps, a joint program with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Excessive drinking, concentration of bars, which, you know, people have talked for years about Eau Claire and La Crosse have, you know, among the most bars per capita. Concentration of bars and alcohol-related driving deaths all were contributing factors into determining America's drunkest cities, all but two of which are in the Midwest. So
pretty depressing.
Kind of that blue collar, hey, you know, work, quitting time, back to the bar. Only one Minnesota city, Mankato, appears in the top 20 at number 10. Wisconsin, here it is. This is the Star Tribune. Sorry. Wisconsin outdrinks any other state. So, and they indicate the fact, you know, I'll just give you. Appleton's number one. Oshkosh is two. Green Bay's three. Madison, four. La Crosse, six. Fond du Lac, seventh. Eau Claire, ninth. Wausau, 11th. Sheboygan, 12th. Racine, 15th. Janesville, 16th. There you go. 12 of the top 20. So I want to talk about this. 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at wwib.com. But just in terms of your experience with that and breaking the cycle on it. And I mean, I've said many times in the air, it just is what it is. You got to be real, right? I mean, in terms of clear memories of my dad coming home, having that at least one or two mixed drinks and the beers that followed. And let's face, I mean, we're in an inebriated state, right? I mean, we got to get out of this. I've got a good clip from David Kinman of the Barna Group. And he says some of the signs in our culture, if you're looking for encouragement, is a lot of what has preceded cultures in the past before revival breaks out. Well, maybe that is what it's going to take. But in general, you know, we're the only state in the country that it's not a criminal offense in terms of first-time drunk driving.
Yeah, that should change. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, was killed by a drunk driver the summer before our senior year. He was our class president. He was our prom king, you know, school photographer. And I won't mention names, but close friends of my family's, of my family, was the judge that oversaw that case. And of course, I was devastated. Our whole class was devastated. And the wife of the judge was over for coffee with my mom one morning. And she kind of was like, well, you know, we've all been drunk behind the side of the wheel and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of making light of it. And I, you know, this was like a week after this guy was mm-hmm. killed. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, I think you'd feel a whole lot differently if it was one of your sons or daughters that was killed like this. And because the guy, even though he had been convicted of hurting somebody prior to the death of my friend, you know, I was like, take away his license, make him do all kinds of stuff. And he basically got a slap on the wrist. And I think if the drunk driving laws, which they have gotten better, but if they were really, 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 really stiff, I think that would make that would be a huge deterrent.
Well, and they have done something, but that particular one, they haven't. And you hear explanations or reasons. Do you know the last time we raised the beer tax in Wisconsin? We got a very powerful tavern league, very powerful. And so the political implications of this, I mean, nobody wants to be a legislator. Is like, you don't want to be known for raising any tax. But and there are people like Therese Brousseau. She's a Democrat in Madison. She's talked about raising the beer tax. You know the last time we did it? 1969. So we have, like, you know, the third lowest beer tax or something in the country. So anyhow, what about our, I just want to talk honestly. I mean, if you're going to do a talk show in Wisconsin, we're going to talk this story out. Can we have an honest conversation about being the most inebriated state? So I'm going to talk more from this Leader Telegram article today, but we'd love to have interactive dialogue with you about this, not in a self-righteous, condemning, finger-pointing way, but how can it change? I mean, I just want to give God all the praise and all the glory that by his grace, I haven't chose to follow the path of my dad into alcoholism. Mm-hmm. All right. He was the youngest of nine kids. He had his hurts, his wounds, his pain. I've been to adult child of alcoholic groups. My friend Ed Ramsey, who's, you know, 40 years plus sober and is such a blessing, and he's actively involved with AA. He's like, your dad, in terms of his sensitivity and whatever, that he made those choices and drank. And so thank God he was sober largely the last year of his life. So we had that. But it largely marred and affected. And
so is that like the main reason why you don't drink?
I mean, is it the main reason? I don't know. I mean, it just is. It's just the reality in my life. I mean, Donald Trump, I think he brings out the fact of, you know, right, he lost a brother. He just talked about it this week. It was his brother, Fred, I think. Who, and that's where he's a complete teetotaler, I believe.
I used to joke in Russia, and I know the joke is here, too. If you wear an undershirt, they have the name wife beater T-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
So
got one of those on today, actually.
Bad
name, horrible name.
It is. But I mean, like when I lived in Russia, we kind of joked about it, and it's really pathetic. But like if you smoked, you drank. If you drank, you got drunk. If you got drunk, you beat your wife. And so we joked, if you smoke cigarettes, you must be a wife beater. But I don't drink just because I've seen, you know, I used to work with delinquent and abused teenagers, and at the heart of every single kid that I dealt with was drug and alcohol abuse. And I'm like, well, I never got into drugs anyway, but alcohol, you know, I come from a family that, you know, here in Wisconsin, like you said, people drink, and I used to drink, but I'm just like, man, you know, a Dr. Pepper, which I love as much as water, that it is not going to lead to, you know, a drunken brawl. And I think, you know what? Why play with fire? Yeah. I mean, and I'm not legalistic about it, but I'm just like, why?
I just want to talk about it in terms of why is it in Wisconsin? We've had this history, and we talk about stuff going on from, you know, one generation to another, right? And so I'd love to see that change. What can we do as the body of Christ in our culture? And I don't want this to be, for me at least, I'm not intending this to be a conversation regarding if you should be a teetotaler. I'm just saying Appleton is the drunkest city in America. 7 of the top 10 drunkest cities are in Wisconsin, 12 of the top 20. I don't like it. I don't think any of us should. And what can we do about it? Your thoughts, welcome. 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Sure, we can look to the politicians, but what about you and me? We played Governor Walker. He said the family. Regarding gang and gun violence, what about certainly the family in this area as well? What can we do to change this culture that's been in place for many years in Wisconsin? Will you dialogue with us about it? WWIB.
Menards is your indoor-outdoor carpet headquarters. Save big on a great selection like Bayside Loop Carpet by Citation. It's soft underfoot and UV stabilized, making it great for sunrooms, patios, and three-season rooms. On sale in two colors, only 54 cents a square foot. Kahuna indoor-outdoor carpet is a great way to add comfort to your deck or patio. Available in two colors, only 49 cents a square foot. Outdoor comfort is easy with Menards.
Save big money. money at Menards.
Remedy Drive is coming to Cameron. Live in concert on June 4th at 6 p.m. with special guests True Serva and Sam Hall. This is a rain or shine concert under the big tent, and admission is free.
It's not too late to resuscitate life.
Remedy Drive with True Serva and Sam Hall.
I'm a soul.
This family-centered outdoor concert under the big tent is free. Lawn chairs and blankets are welcome. Don't miss Remedy Drive with True Serva and Sam Hall. Saturday, June 4th at 6 p.m. Located just 1 mile west of Cameron on Highway W behind Abundant Life Church. Remedy Drive with True Serva and Sam Hall, June 4th, 6 p.m. Don't miss it. For more information about this concert, please visit Abundant Life Church on Facebook. This is Paul back with Karen from Festival Foods. Karen, a lot of people have dietary concerns and they want information about nutrition. How can Festival Foods help?
Well, we have a lot of different ways that we can help with your nutrition needs. And this month is actually Celiac Awareness Month, so we're kind of concentrating on that. So a lot of people do have some level of allergy to wheat gluten. It's called celiac disease. So we have a staff of dietitians that are constantly working to present new ideas, products, recipes. It's the driving force in our natural and organic department. You can even sign up for our gluten-free newsletter at fastfoods.com.
And graduation season is fast approaching. That means a lot of parties. If you're not sure how to plan, what to do, what to serve, Festival to the Rescue.
We can answer all your graduation party questions. You tell us when. Our deli and bakery has what you need to make that perfect day. We have all the traditional party foods, beverages, and little extras like decorations. Our party planner is online and in the store.
Festival Foods.
Front page, WWIB, Mark and Renee, we're trying to foster a conversation, a dialogue with you at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark at wib.com. 7 of the top 10, 12 of the 20 drunkest American cities are right here in Wisconsin. We love Wisconsin. It's a great state. I just covered Governor Walker at the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport this morning there for the Chippewa County Economic Development Corporation. I think about our longtime governor, Tommy Thompson, who was such a great cheerleader for the state. There's a lot to love in Wisconsin, but we just got to shine the light on this. I mean, what can we do? You know, we talk about Trump politically trying to turn the tables over. That's what's garnered him some of the support on his way to winning the Republican nomination. Can we turn the tables over on this? Mike in Rice Lake has some thoughts. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Mark and Renee.
Hi.
Well, I think it all does boil down to the breakdown of the family, like most every problem in society today. And I'm living proof that it can be. You can change it one person at a time. You just need to demonstrate for everyone, even if you do. Like, I still drink, you know, I drink now and then, but I don't drink in excess. I don't get drunk. You just need to prove to your kids and your kids' friends that there is life without alcohol.
Yeah. All right. Well, way to go, Mike. I'm glad. And you say you grew up in a home where it was much more problematic.
Well, I grew up, no, actually, I did not.
Okay.
I grew up in a home where there wasn't hardly any drinking.
Okay.
But as I got into high school,
sure,
I started hanging with kids that was very prevalent in their family.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad and mom were divorced when I was young. I didn't have a good positive role model. So I took to drinking very heavily through school. And, you know, it took many years for me to figure out that it was wrong, but it did, thank God. And, so you can change it one at a time, and it does have to start in the home.
Mm-hmm. Right, good thoughts.
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. All right, 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark at wib.com, or you can text Halva to 77000. I mean, that was my, I mean, we, I think probably as young as ninth grade, stealing liquor from my parents' liquor cabinet, right, with my friends, and then, you know, the sampling, experimenting, and...
Yeah, so I mean, served when I was 13 years old. I mean, that is pathetic.
Well, the drinking age back when we're about the same age, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the drinking age was 18 back in the day.
Right.
So,
but looked older and went there and bought it. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
The youth part is, I know for me, I mean, getting saved, coming up on my anniversary of spiritual rebirth, May 28th, next weekend. And just, That was a big deal. I mean, I can say, by God's grace, I haven't been drunk or high since I got saved. And
oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, I was, you know, had access to marijuana as a kid in high school and used. And so don't want that for my kids, and doing all I can to be, you know, different now. But that's where I think the gospel is. We talk about political steps, like individual salvation and spiritual growth and fostering that. You talk about the marriage, the family, et cetera. I mean, that's the obvious. Jesus is the answer, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, you know, when I got saved, nobody told me, okay, you can't drink, you can't swear, you can't all this stuff. But really, with alcohol, my desires really did change. And, you know, I read these verses in Romans. I think it's like 6 and 7, maybe it's 8, that talk about by dying to what once bound you, then you live, you know, at first according to the law, and then by dying to what once bound you, then you live according to the Spirit. And that's what I did. I mean, from the day that I got saved, I never went to another party again from the time I was 13 until the summer before my senior year. Not that I couldn't, but I just thought, I know that's an issue for me. And so I totally cut that out of my life and, you know, just replaced it by godly friends and doing awesome things, you know, with people that were really discipling me. So that when I did go to my next party, I was like, oh, this is not tempting at all. But yet I know that it could become tempting mm-hmm. if I surrounded myself with that again, even today.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. Keith and Thorpe, hi, you're on Front Page, yeah. WWMB.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
I can relate with that story because when I was young, at 13, I accepted Christ. And then I got in with the wrong crowd and got to drinking and stuff as a teenager. And, I mean, there was one night I really got... I mean, I was in bad shape, and there was a good Christian friend of mine at school that came up to me on Monday and said, "What in the world are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we need to be as Christians for one another. But part of the problem, you know, in the culture, as I was thinking as graduation is coming up and stuff, that I worked at the school for 10 years. And I mean, these parents for graduation, they'd have all this alcohol available for their kids, and they'd wait till, well, they'd say, well, this is for the late party, so when their friends and stuff come, you know, that they can have a beer party and stuff. And you're like, why?
Well, almost every spring we featured the Parents Who Host Lose the Most campaign, and I don't have them booked right now, but we've had them on, both Wib and Wogo, and that's the whole idea. They really tried to discourage that strongly. So even
yeah, but it's just sad to mm-hmm. see it. It's just, I just can't, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention the fact that it's also illegal.
Well, yeah.
mm-hmm. That's
I
a good
get
point.
That, but I mean, the thing is you know, the police don't get to those parties, and if they do, the kids run, and, you know, everybody hides and laughs about it, you know, because we'd hear the kids talking around school when they'd have parties and stuff.
Yeah.
We knew, we heard the stories and stuff, and you're just like, well, I don't get why parents do that, but that's the problem with the culture. The parents say, well, this is okay to do, that you can do this.
No, I agree. I mean, so, again, the onus doesn't go on the kids, and it's on the parents, right? If you don't have liquor in your house, the kids can't steal it. Thanks for your call, Keith. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
Interesting. Lots more to talk about on this. In fact, this is going to take us, I think, to the end of the hour because we've got more information. This is jumping out at me, the Leader Telegram story on this today. And if you want to get in, we're talking about what can we do to finally turn the table on Wisconsin being the drunkest state in the country. 723-2555. 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at wwib.com. But again, we talk about drinking and drugs, right? Drinking, drugs, and then all of a sudden crime being involved. And Sheriff Ron Kramer, quoted in the story, get this now. He says, 75% of inmates incarcerated in the jail have some type of substance abuse issue. But here he goes. He says, alcohol used to be the leading reason for people being incarcerated, but now that's been surpassed by meth. That's how bad the meth problem is. Think about that. Alcohol that's readily available. I went into a grocery store in Stanley the other day, and it wasn't Gordy's. And, I mean, it was just like, I was like, wow. It was like liquor just greets you mm-hmm. all over the place, like an aisle and a half of it. And I was like, hmm. And it's just so pervasive, right? And then we talk about the bars per capita. You made a great point during the break about, you know, our history in Wisconsin with breweries, right?
Well, yeah. And, I mean, I can't name all the names, but, I mean, it's not just Leinenkugel's, although that's a big, huge thing now. But, I mean, I think Pabst used to be made here.
No, in the past, I mean, I grew up in Milwaukee. Blatt's, Old Milwaukee, Miller, Schlitz, right?
Yeah, so you're exposed to it. But, you know, people want to say today that, you know, well, this doesn't lead to that. But, I mean, we've said over and over, there are consequences. And if you drink and drink and drink and drink, then it's no surprise that you try other things. And so it's not surprising to me that you go from drinking to meth. But, I mean, boy, it's – and you know what? This is a crazy thing. Things have changed since we were kids. I mean, you can take a drug now, and it can be synthetic, and you can try a drug just one little time, and you can be addicted.
Not going to name any brands, but think about all of the – it's almost like Kool-Aid with liquor in it, right, in terms of the lemonade drinks and all that that's out there. All right. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, I'm Steve from Conrad.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I thought it kind of disturbing here not too long ago in, I think it was Chippewa, one of the theaters just decided to start selling beer at the theater, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, my opinion is, why are you promoting it, especially in places like that?
I think, obviously, there's money to be had, whether you're a grocery store. I mean, huge amounts of money for grocery stores through liquor sales and restaurants and movie theaters. I mean, movie theaters struggle to make it, and so... I know the one you've mentioned, we've reported on it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, well, you know, that's the whole issue. You know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Steve. All right.
Bye.
Anyhow, more to get to. Your thoughts, welcome 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at wwib.com. Text Halva to 77000. Just as we go to break here, this is just to read this story. And it says, Wisconsin outdrinks any other state. Our neighbor, Wisconsin, is Minnesota paper. Seven of the top 10 drunkest cities in Wisconsin, including the top four. The top four, all Wisconsin, Appleton, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Madison, Eau Claire is ninth. The CDC defines binge drinking as, again, Mothers Against Drunk Driving even is not a teetotaling organization. Even with all the great work that they've done over the years, they don't – I've interviewed their folks many times nationally or here in the state. They're not calling for teetotaling. But this study, a lot of this study is about drinking to just get wasted, mm-hmm. okay? The CDC in Atlanta defines binge drinking as consuming at least four or more drinks for women and five or more for men during one sitting. Heavy drinking refers to the number of alcoholic beverages consumed per week, 15 or more for men, 8 or more for women. On average, 18% of adults drink unhealthy amounts of alcohol, according to the study. Wisconsinites consistently imbibe on a grander scale, with more than a quarter of adults reporting that they binge or drink heavily throughout the week.
I mean, you know, that's shocking because I never got sick when I drank, never was hungover, never any of that. The only one,
I got sick.
The only one time that I did, and actually...
It'll teach a lesson, but yeah.
Well... This was the one time that I drank from the time I was 13 up until today. It was the one time that mm-hmm. I drank. And here I was a Christian, and it's a crazy story. But I was sitting one night, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? I am drunk. I mm-hmm. am watching a garbage movie that I would never watch if mm-hmm. I was sober. I'm with people that are ridiculous, and I got sick all the way home and I had to go to work the very next morning. And I mean, this is disgusting, but I literally kept a cup because I was like getting sick as I was working. And I said, to my manager, I said, I got to go home. I've got to get out of here. And he goes, hey, suck it up. This is how the average person is every single weekend. Yeah. And I'm like, well, not me, because if I ever got sick, I never drank again.
We're not the Bible Belt. I understand that. I understand our history with alcohol, but can that change in Wisconsin, or do we just accept that this is just the way it is? What do you say? 723-2555, front page.
Psst, Jessica. Who's there?
I'm that little voice in your head that reminds you of important things.
Okay, what do you want?
You need to use your Shop Your Way surprise points at Sears before they expire.
I forgot all about those.
I know. Members get free surprise points toward their favorite purchases in-store or online. Check your account at ShopYourWay.com, then use points on anything you want. Sandals, patio furniture, maybe a new jacket for spring.
Where is my jacket?
Cleaners, ready on Thursday.
Surprise points are valid until May 25th. Amount of points awarded based on membership status and other factors. Ask to redeem your points at checkout. Exclusions apply. Go to ShopYourWay.com for details.
You can get your iron
IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta home delivery gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
Pat Couture here from the Purpose Driven Retirement Show and Keystone Financial. You know, retirement is the ultimate goal of everyone who works. And when you get close to pulling the plug on employment, you have to make sure that you're ready. So are you confident in the huge retirement decision? Well, join me next week as we discuss the essential elements of a retirement plan and the key mistakes to avoid. The Purpose Driven Retirement Show airs Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WWIB.
All right, front page, WWIB. Just felt like this would be a good talk show topic in terms of Wisconsin, the drunkest state in the nation. And that's there's so much that's great about Wisconsin. I wish that wasn't a distinction that we have. This is the Wire story we read this week. It says Appleton's the drunkest city in America. Told you about that. I've got some of the Eau Claire numbers. Eau Claire, ninth. Critics have raised concerns for years about Wisconsin's alcohol traditions. And state lawmakers, we go right to the political, right? I think my testimony is inside out change. As your desires change, higher, nobler desires displace the lesser desires. I remember as a college freshman, I'm like, you know, the parties and drinking too much, the beer bongs and, you know, beer pong. I was like, there's got to be more to life than this, was my honest journey. But
no joke.
Yeah. But critics have raised concerns for years about Wisconsin's alcohol tradition. State lawmakers have addressed it through drunk driving crackdowns on a piecemeal basis. Let me call applause to two. Jim Ott is a former Milwaukee TV and radio meteorologist, worked for WTMJ. He's really spearheaded the lead on this. He's always coming up with drunk driving reforms. State Senator Alberta Darling also, I think, has done a really good job in the Senate. I mean, trying to do his piecemeal bit by bit. But as we said earlier, Wisconsin remains the only state in the country not to make first-time OWI a criminal charge. Now, if I can remember, some of the pushback on that is, well, we've got so many people in jail, or we've got, I don't know why. I mean, somebody has to help me out. I have to do some more digging, and maybe between now and WDOGO, I'll try to Google why is it that Wisconsin is the only state in the country. What, 49 other states are wrong, and we're right? Why?
Well, and why
there's a lot of alcohol consumption in the Midwest. They all criminalize first-time OWI.
And why can't, I mean, by criminalize, you're saying putting people in jail?
Well.
Because, I mean, why not take people's license away or take points away?
It's not a criminal charge, first offense here. And it's like we give you a pass on that.
And so, with our history,
why? Even with the piecemeal efforts in recent sessions of the legislature, they haven't... We're going to do some digging. That'll be the question that'll start us at 11:05 on FM 103.1 AM 680 and worldwar.com. This study this week notes that almost half of all traffic deaths in Green Bay involve alcohol, while La Crosse has the nation's highest number of taverns per capita. The nation's
La Crosse?
Yeah. Well, they say Eau Claire's real close. Almost 7 bars for every 10,000 people. So, again, access is a big part. Stephen Conrath making the point, right? Hey, all of a sudden serving, I think, beer and wine at a movie theater. I think they've gotten a license for that in Eau Claire and Chippewa.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? So, this just goes back to the heart, like you're saying, because right. You think of the atmosphere of so many bars. I mean, there are decent bars that, like, you can go in and have dinner or whatever, and then there's others, and we have plenty of them all lining our streets that you go, I haven't even been in them, but I look at the outside, and I'm like, I wouldn't walk in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people need Jesus.
And we know, again, we know prohibition doesn't work, right? It didn't work. We know that, okay? So it's not that. And so it is ultimately an inside-out change. But trying to create the culture, I mean, the whole, I remember an Academy Award-winning documentary years ago was Scared Straight. I mean, something like for people to realize that you could face a first-time criminal offense if you do this. Again, the Tavern League, we mentioned their power as well, but... Just some of the Eau Claire numbers as we wrap up here in the Leader Telegram story today. They talked to Lisa Giese from the Eau Claire City County Health Department about this. And here's the Eau Claire numbers, that 24 per 24.3% of adults in the Eau Claire area admit that they drink to excess. 43.3% of driving fatalities in Eau Claire involve alcohol, and there are 278 deaths before age 75 per 100,000 people from alcohol. The website says, as is the case in a number of other metros with high rates of excessive drinking, the Eau Claire area is home to quite a few drinking establishments. 6.4 bars for every 10,000 residents, second most of any U.S. city. Renee, that was true when I was in college in Eau Claire 30 years ago. Is it probably at least 30 years ago, right in the 80s? That's still true. La Crosse is first, Eau Claire is second, most bars per capita.
Well, I don't ever go down Water Street anymore during the night, but I mean, is it the same way that it was when we were in high school where it is just...
I'm not hanging out down there either, but maybe we need to go down there and
I used
share
to go witnessing
tracks.
Down
no.
there. I did,
well,
but I was
back.
Just a young girl.
Let's go back. Maybe that's a starting place. Anyhow, I want to talk... we'll carry this forward. Thank you to our three callers so far. I want to raise it for our WOGO listeners, too. We do have a comment here from a listener who wants to remain anonymous and says, in Eau Claire, I struggle every day. My father-in-law, who lives close to us, always thinks that my kids should be drinking. It's a constant battle as my kids are both in his house and my house. He thinks it's cool and mentions beer and mixed drinks parties all the time, but so many generations live in one area. It's what he grew up with. That's what we're fighting against. The older he gets, the more he thinks drinking is funny. He didn't let his kids drink and go to parties, but for some reason he thinks it's cool to promote it to his grandkids.
Oh, sad.
Lord intervene, right?